Everyone is comfortable, everyone can see. So I'm going to just read you the little paragraph in which Baba spoke about being the authority of experience. And in this paragraph he took up Gyan, the authority of the experience of Gyan, because we're going to look at what is the meaning of being an embodiment of the four subjects and an authority of experience of the four subjects. So the four subjects are Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, and Service. And Baba gave everyone a pass mark in Service, which actually can be considered as action consciousness, which is not soul consciousness. So it was a slightly backhanded compliment. And so I think that Baba is having very valid expectations of us, that we need to be very aware of the speed of time and the brevity of the remaining amount of time. The advance party is ready. The five elements are ready. I think probably the bomb department is ready. Our nuclear bombs, right? We have very good ones now. And everyone is ever ready, and then BKs are supposed to be ever ready. And so how can we make that a practical reality? And what prevents us from being ever ready? And what do we have to do to be ever ready? So an authority of experience. So let me just read you this part. Bab Dada checked the result, and what did he see? In all four subjects, each one is jnani, yogi, has dharana, and is serving according to their capacity. However, in all four subjects, a lack was visible in there being an embodiment of experience or an authority of experience. In being an embodiment of knowledge, so he's going into the details of knowledge. In being an embodiment of knowledge, to be an embodiment of experience, soul who is an embodiment of experience has knowledge, that is, understanding of what has to be done and what must not be done. That's jnana. What to do, what to not do. Very, very interesting description of jnana. Jnana means what to do and what to not do. And we don't do what we should do, and we do do what we should not do. Why? Because of ignorance. So jnana means do what you have to do and don't do what you don't have to do. Very simple. What's the obstacle? Baba says he has the light and might of knowledge. Light means clarity and might means ability. So it's not like you say, I would if I could, but I can't. You know that expression? Would if I could, but I can't. Why you can't? Because too weak. No power. So you to know is to have the light, and to be able to do what you know is to have the power. If you can't do what you know you have to do, it means purely and simply nothing more or less other than you are a weak soul. And so you have an option to remain weak or to get strong. It's optional. The meaning of being an embodiment of experience is that there should be light and might in a natural way. Natural means it has to be real. In every action of a jnani soul. Jnani means to know the knowledge, to speak about it, and together with that, there should be light and might in every action. Action means in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. All are having clarity, light, and also you do what you intend to do. Yes? So with your form of being an embodiment of experience, every action will naturally be elevated, that is, correct, and successful. If it's correct, it will work out. Successful means it works out. You will not have to labor because you are embodiments of the experience of knowledge. The authority of experience is the most elevated of all authorities. There is difference in knowing knowledge and in performing every action as an authority of the experience of knowledge. If you know it, but you don't really know it, then you don't actually know it. You just think you know it. The proof of knowing it is it's automatic and natural. It's real. So check. In all four subjects, am I an embodiment of experience? I am a soul. Are you a soul or do you have a soul? You are a soul. Is a soul a thing or a being? Huh? It's a being. Do you have a body or you are a body? You have a body. Are you sure? So if you have to lose it, is it okay? Are you sure? Have you checked? How many of you have faced death? That's not many. It's very important to face death because then only you know whether or not you can do it. So now Baba will bring upon us a variety of circumstances where we can actually have the experience to be able to check. Can I leave this body in the right consciousness or do I have a panic? You can't do anything right when you're in a panic, right? No. So not getting into a panic is an attribute of knowledge. So, I am a soul, but am I performing every action as an embodiment of experience? If you are seated on the seat of an authority of experience, then elevated actions and actions that are filled with success will be seen as the natural nature in front of. But to become an embodiment of experience, your natural nature should be yog-yukt and ras-yukt. Do you know what that is? Yog-yukt? Yog-yukt means your levels of yoga are up, not down. If your level of yoga is down, then you're not going to be yog-yukt. If your level of yoga is high, you will be yog-yukt. That means the power of yoga will be operating instead of physical power. When you're trying to use physical power, action consciousness, physical consciousness, I have to do this, I have to do that, I comes. And so then it means the yoga level is not very high. Ras-yukt means understanding the secrets. And so you have to know what secrets are because nobody's going to tell you. So you have to figure them out. That's why they're called secrets. If they were obvious, they wouldn't be secret. So they're secret because they're subtle. And it takes subtlety of consciousness to catch them, to recognize them, and then you'll operate in a ras-yukt way. Yeah? So in your dharana too, all virtues should automatically be visible in every action. So you have a list out there on the history hall wall, 36 virtues. Have you seen that? Did you read it? Did you like it? Do you know whether or not you have them? How do you know you have them? You only know you have them when something comes to challenge them. So always remain an embodiment of experience and remain seated on the seat of experience. Your seat is your position. So it is essential to pay attention to this need. The seat of an authority of experience is very great. Even Maya cannot finish off those who are experienced. Maya means deception. And so Maya is extremely competent in the art of deceiving bhikkhus. Right? And so we have to be able to see through the deception. That means you have to have very good power of discrimination. If you do not have power of discrimination, you will misinterpret, you will act according to the misinterpretation, and you will be trapped like a fly in a spider's web, and you cannot get out. You will be eaten without being cooked first. Right? Like a lobster. Have you seen how they cook lobster? Put it in the boiling water live, and it goes from green to red. So you don't want to be like that. Is it? Or? No. So Maya is merciless, so do not be deceived. It comes in a very attractive manner, looks very nice, highly spiritual, but is fake. So you have to be careful not to get deceived. So that's important. So once you've been experienced in the difference between Srimat, Manmat, Paramat, Maya, Baba, all these things, then you can't get deceived. Cynical, nothing to do with deception. I see what you mean, yeah. Cynicism. He's asking me about cynicism. So, cynicism is an attitude which is very arrogant and which provides others with doubt about things that they could have good faith in. And so, yes, Maya would engender a cynical attitude. And so, be careful not to be cynical. You have to be realistic. Sometimes there's a difficulty of distinguishing between being realistic and being cynical. Being realistic means that you're not under any illusions about anything, about how difficult easy Raj Yoga is, for example. You know? And how easy it is to be subtle, but how difficult it is when you're being gross. So the authority of experience is multi-million times higher than the authority of Maya. To think about it is one thing, to churn it is another thing, but now it is essential for you to move forward as an embodiment of experience. This word embodiment is used for the word swarup. Swarup means the form of yourself. Embodiment means it's got the word body in it. It's nothing to do with body, it's about the soul. But anyway, embodiment. So this is what Baba had told us. night before last. So I'm imagining that everyone here has taught the 7 days course to someone or to many other people. Am I right? Everyone has taught the course? Anyone who hasn't taught the course? Why you haven't taught the course? Right? Anybody, any other reason why you haven't taught the course? So, well, teaching the course, the purpose of teaching the course is to make it more clear to you. So if you wait until it's clear before you teach it, you might be waiting a long time. So it's worthwhile to accept the challenge of attempting to convey to another human being what you have understood. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying, this is the information that we are studying, this is what I believe to be true, and it's not so easy to be it, because then you're being authentic. If you wait until you're perfectly soul conscious before telling anyone about the soul, you'll have already become karmatit and it will be too late, and you will be a king without any subjects, so then you won't be a king. So, I mean, you have to understand the secret behind the situation in which you are given an opportunity to distribute what you have received. Because when you give something that you have, that thing increases. If you have something and you don't give it, then it will decrease. So this is also one of the secrets. There are a lot of secrets in Gyan. Now, there is a story about Ram. You know, Ram of the Silver Age. And one of the differences between being a golden aged person or being a silver age person is connected with this story. And the thing about Ram, why he was classified as a failure in terms of VK knowledge, going into the silver age means a failure, is because you interpret what Baba says according to your opinion. And your opinion is called, what Baba says is called Srimat, right? And what your opinion is called Manmat, and then the other people's opinion is called Paramat. Now, opinionated people, we have many, very often that opinionated state is due to having accepted the opinion of the conventions or the conventional social attitudes and morality, for example. You say, well, I know that this is right and therefore I'm going to do like this. And when you do that in such a way that it's opposite or different from the way that it is suggested in Gyan, then you can understand that you are doing according to Paramat, and that you are an embodiment of Paramat, not an embodiment of knowledge. You see, so it's very difficult to recognize your own Manmat because it seems right. And so one has to have a lot of faith in not only what Baba says, but also the instruments that Baba has identified to convey what he says. Right? If you see the collection, last year Daddy Janki was reading out for a few of the sisters. She was reading out a collection of blessings that Baba had given to her. You see, now if you are a Manmati, Paramati, opinionated person, you would think that, well, she is blowing her own trumpet. And you would be seated on the authority of that position and attitude, and then you wouldn't get very much out of it. So that's an option. There's another option, and that is to understand that she has understood that Baba knows, that she knows what he wants her to know, but that you don't know that he knows, that she knows, certifications, that whatever it is that she's doing is selflessly for the benefit of the people, us people, the students. And so when she tells us something, or when she advises us about something, we have an option. We can follow it or we can disregard it. And the more accurately we recognize its value will determine how authentically we accept it and follow it and apply it, and then also get success. Because success arises that way. If we interpret it in a different way and we disregard it, then we will have to do something called eating humble pie. You know this expression, eating humble pie? It means that later on you will recognize that you were deceived and that whatever you could have attained, you didn't. And so then you will experience lack of contentment. And Baba talked about the importance of contentment in all of this. So what I'm saying is that people who have been on this road for a long time have somewhat of an idea what they're talking about. And so it's very much useful for us to get that point, because then we can profit. And Baba said there's very, very little time in which it's possible to take profit. And the main thing that's in our way is ego. So he told us the key, you know, the three dots: Atma, Paramatma, and Dharma. Soul, Supreme Soul, and Dharma. So whenever we hear something from an authority of knowledge which we don't agree with, or we have a different opinion about, then as often as not it's a sign that we are under the influence of arrogance. And it's very difficult to recognize arrogance. And so one of the ways of recognizing arrogance is by a kind of a list of signs of arrogance. I can't hear you. A difference of opinion. What I'm saying is that when Baba says something, or when the appointed instruments say something, we have to pay attention to it, because it has a lot more meaning in it than meets the eye. When we are opinionated in regard to that, it means that our ability to understand the secrets is very less, very limited, because we take things at face value. If we take things at face value, it means we are shallow. And if we are shallow, it means that we're not going to be able to take all that much profit, which means that we'll basically be going into loss. So the whole issue, I think, that Baba is presenting to us in this Murli is that we are being held back in our ability to profit due to being opinionated. And that all that happens is loss. So why would the one who comes to present you with attainments, why would he want you not to have attainments. He spoke about contentment. Contentment being very, very important, santoshitata. So, contentment, he said, comes from attainment. And attainment comes, you see, if you have attainment from knowledge, it means that you've really become the embodiment of that. You have become what he is saying because you've understood it, you've studied it, you've churned it, you've absorbed it, you've practiced it, and you've been able to realize that what he is saying is true. Once you realize what he says is true, you're then in a position to drop your former opinion. Because our ideas are opinions. Right? And so Baba says, okay, you're a soul. You say, yes, I'm a soul. He says, okay, a soul is mind, intellect, sanskaras. Okay, it's mind, intellect, sanskaras. Right? The mind, you have a list of mind in thinking, feeling, all this stuff, right? Intellect is in understanding, interpreting that stuff. And sanskaras is whatever you're supposed to change. And your tendencies and habits and so on and so forth. And then he says, your mind has to be donated. Your intellect has to be surrendered and your sanskaras have to be given up because they belong to Ravan and they're not yours anyway. So then, what is a soul? A soul has a mind, has an intellect, has a sanskaras. What is it? Well, it's a thought. Okay, so I'm a dot. Not a what, but a who. If you say, I am a dot, that's very body conscious because a dot is a thing, right? So to become the embodiment of experience of being a thing is counterproductive. It causes you to become depressed because I'm nothing more than just a dot. Right? So that doesn't work, you see. So no, I'm a soul. Daddy Janki was talking about being a soul, what's under your foot, you know, to other type of soul, which is what you are, you know. So it's very deep and it's very subtle. And so you have to practice being bodiless. Right? Baba talked especially about the power of concentration. Daddy Gulzar is a very good example of the embodiment of concentration. Because in order to go into trance, you have to be highly concentrated. In order to be detached from your body, you also have to be highly concentrated. In order to be silent, you must be highly concentrated. And so the work that is being given to us from time to time is said to be, well, they use the expression Manjit, in the conqueror of the mind. And one description that Baba has given to be a conqueror of the mind is that you can direct your mind where you want, if you want, for however long you want, or not. And if something arises in your mind that you did not intend, that means you have no power over your own mind. So therefore you are a weak soul again. Right? So the mind is that thing that registers sense impressions. You see? And so when you register whatever's going on, like Baba gave us a very good test, that on the front row there was one person who experienced some discomfort, physical discomfort, and then everybody's attention went on that. So Baba said, you know, what is your stage? Are you listening to Baba or are you in distracted stage? You see. So if a sense impression comes before your mind and your mind goes to that, it means that you are under the control of external circumstances and events or sense impressions. You see. So if you are a conqueror of the mind, within a nanosecond you will decide, should I pay attention to this thing or not? You have a period in which you can make that choice, and you have the ability within that nanosecond to evaluate the entire thing, whether it's necessary to or profitable to pay attention on the distraction or maintain your attention on Baba, who is telling you very important things. In fact, we could even see that Baba decided not to tell any more of the Murli because everybody was obviously not much interested, more interested in the distractions. Did you notice that? Yeah, so what does that say? So he's giving us a backhanded compliment and we are giving him a subtle insult. So there's a little problem in the quality of the relationship. And then he says, you love me all this much, but the indications are a little bit otherwise. Right? And so normally when you do something wrong, if you're sharp enough to catch it, you would feel a little amount of shame. And you'd also feel a little bit of regret. I see. Because Baba was being very, very interested and then interesting and then he kind of stopped. And so there's a very little bit that said, well, what was he about to say if this thing hadn't happened? The thing was okay, but the degree of distraction was what was really not okay, and which indicated that we are not very competent, not very experienced in making snap decisions that are motivated by personal benefit. Let me see. Because if something's happening to somebody and they're being taken care of, you immediately understand that it's none of your business. Right? If you're the only one around and something's happened, then it's your business. But if there's a whole bunch of people qualified taking care of the problem, then it's not your business. Your business is pay attention on the benefit that is being provided to you, to us. And that's the concentration. So when you get easily distracted, how many times when Dadi is conducting class, how many times did she say, open your eyes, wake up, pay attention, you know, don't rustle your plastic bags or talk on your mobile phones or sit in the corners where you think that you can't be noticed. Right? How many times? I mean, how many years? And so to, it was said in the Murli today, right? Those who understand what to do with a signal, they are deities. Those who have to be told, they're ordinary mortals. And those who don't do, even when they're being told, well, we're not going to say what that is, but if you do say what it is, it's called a donkey. Donkeys, or mules rather, very stubborn, they go their own way. And so none of these things are appropriate for your self-respect, you see. As being a self-respecting soul, child of the Almighty Authority, child, student of the Supreme Teacher and follower of the Supreme Satguru, the least we can do is pay attention. Isn't it? Yeah. If you had to come in here and pay $1 million just to walk in the door, why, you would pay attention. Because you paid that money. So you want to get everything possible. You see. So lack of valuing what is being given to us is a factor. And so we need to value the value, to discern the value of what's being given to us. Because then immediately you'd pay attention. Because you do not want to lose. People are motivated by profit and loss. Right? By profit, especially. If you believe that you're going to get something out of something, you will pay attention. If you don't notice the value of it, you know, then it's like considered as a monkey. You know how the stories about monkeys are that if you give them jewels, they'll throw them away. They're interested in peanuts. And so low-paying job is considered as working for peanuts. So if you're more interested in the peanuts and not bothering about the jewels, it means there's less power of discernment. All of that means body consciousness, right? And so what he's telling us is there's very, very little time remaining. And when you're an authority or an embodiment of the four subjects, it means that the awareness, say, we say, I am a soul. Now, one of the things Baba has told us is that in the Golden Age, people are naturally soul conscious. And if you are about to die, your last death, and you have to have the sanskara of being naturally soul conscious before you die. You have 10 minutes. You're going to pay full attention on getting that sanskara, because otherwise, if you don't have the sanskara, then you have to come later on in the cycle, of course, right? You see what I mean? So Baba keeps saying it's very little time, but he's not going to say exactly how much, you know. And as Brother Brijmanbhai was saying yesterday, you know, 6 months, you want 6 months, you know. So really, we have to try to create a situation in our mental faculties, our faculties of consciousness, so that we can really take the full profit from what's going on here. And it has been said, Baba's blessing to us is to give us the knowledge. You see. And so, as he said in this Murli, to speak about it is one thing, is very superficial. To churn it is another thing. You go into the depth of it. And then to become it. So to really have on a continuing basis a real sense that your body is an object. An object. Like a dress is an object. You put it on, you take it off. It's a thing. Your body is also a thing. You put it on, you take it off. You have to find out all kinds of ways within your own mind to think about yourself as a someone and your body as a something. So that you can be fully connected with yourself as a soul. And fully disillusioned, that is, all of the illusions of being a body have to be removed. You say, am I pretty? It's a very peculiar question. because you're referring to your body. Because the soul can't be pretty. Pretty is a bodily thing, you see. So you can say, is it pretty? Well, it's all right, you know. It'll do the job. What it looks like doesn't actually make any difference to the question, you see. So any concern one has with our looks is irrelevant. If there is a concern, it means there's body consciousness. You see? What's the method that I use? Well, what I just told, you know, you be this being of light. You see, so you have to practice being bodiless. You have to do a lot of tapasya. Your soul is ready to leave your body and go into the depth of that experience. Because you can't connect with Shiv Baba as long as you're body conscious. Then he uses this word remembrance. He says, remember. Now, the thing is, what the Gyan is it says that there was a time when you were not here on this planet and you didn't have any body at all. Remember?
No.
Well, remember. Because there was a time, so you have to go back in time. Now, you can't remember consciously, so you have to remember some other way. Remember Shiv Baba. How does he say remember Shiv Baba? You can't remember Shiv Baba consciously because your conscious memories are all body conscious. So you have to go into subconscious memories. It means you have to go deep into yourself. And how can you evoke those memories is through the churning, you see. Because why did you become a BK? Who can become a BK? Only who had been a BK last kalpa. Anyone who was not a BK last kalpa cannot be a BK this kalpa or any other kalpa. So, every cycle you become this. So, remember. Occasionally you have a moment of deja vu. And whenever something like that happens, it helps to validate. And it helps you to enter into the experience of remembering something that's not conscious. So you have to think, there was a time when I was in the soul world, and I was not here. And as you start to think about what it means to be a self as a soul, one thing you have to come to terms with is there's never been a time when I myself individually, personally did not exist. Okay, so you've done that, right? So, I've always existed, I always will exist, and you can't exist nowhere, you have to exist somewhere. You can't be existing and also nowhere. If you exist, then you're somewhere. If you don't exist, then of course nowhere is obvious. You're not anywhere, you're not even there. So, but you do exist. It means either you're on the earth or you're in the soul world. There's only two possibilities. Let's see. If you're on the earth, you're in one body out of your wardrobe of 84 possible bodies, 42 of which are male, 42 of which are female. They come in various order, more or less, you change every time. You can't say, I'm a woman or I'm a man. Can't do it. Let's see. You can't say this is a she or this is a he, because of all the she things refer to objects, all the he things refer to objects. When a baby's born, they say, what is it? Male or female? They don't say, who is it? You can't discern that, you see. But we have to discern, who am I? Two questions. One is, what am I? And so that's fairly easy. Then the next one is, who am I? Means which soul am I? And so once you start to get into the who am I, then you start to be concerned with what caliber of soul am I? So Baba says you be concerned about your status. If you're concerned about your status in body consciousness, then you have a disease called status anxiety, which is also known as discontent. And you're always worried about how you look and what people think about you. When you're soul conscious, you are aware that no one has ever seen you, nor can they. So being concerned about how you look doesn't have any meaning, because you're invisible. So what's the issue? There isn't one. And so then it becomes important, what do you do? You see? Because what you do is either pure or impure. You see? And so it becomes more and more important that what you do is pure. How do you know whether something's pure or impure? It means that anything that is based in soul consciousness, or the essential, original elements of the soul, will be a pure action. That means if it comes from purity, peace, power, love, and bliss, then it'll be a right action. And if it comes from greed, anger, lust, attachment, fear, etc., then it'll be a negative action. And negative actions will cost you, and positive actions will bring you profit. So dhyan means knowing what to do and what to not do. So you have to train your mind to use the dhyan. And because we souls are in the context of drama. And drama, as Baba has told us, is an amazing cartoon show going on all the time. You see? So we are constantly in the circumstances of being entertained. And we also need to develop the ability to be good entertainers. Right? Because if you're a good entertainer, then that becomes a good medium with which to communicate important wisdom. Because people like to be entertained. They don't like to be bored. So if you're a boring teacher, they won't learn anything. If you're an entertaining teacher, they'll learn everything. Right? So yukti. So we have to be yukti-yukt, yog-yukt, ras-yukt. So one of the secrets is, it's good to be entertaining. It's also good to be entertained. See, because if you're not entertained, then you get adversely affected by some scene or another. And why are we adversely affected is because of the influence of our sense perceptions. That is to say, our mind is not under our influence, it's under the influence of our body. You see? So if our mind is under the influence of our body, then we are body-minded. And if we are under the influence of ourselves, then we're soul-minded. So if the soul perceives through the mind, through the sense perceptions, something, and as a result of that perception you get disturbed, it means you haven't understood anything. So you have to go again back to Gyan, you know. And Gyan says, hey, guess what? It's a cartoon. So what are you doing getting disturbed? Right? Someone is trying to kill you. So you're immortal. What's the problem? What are you bothered about? Oh, I'm dying, I'm dying. You can't die, you're immortal. What is this? You know? So you have this dialogue with yourself and also conversation with Baba, because Baba is telling us knowledge all the time. And when you have a conversation with Baba, it's a conversation with Baba in the context also of Baba's knowledge. Because you can't say, hey Baba, you're not God. It doesn't make any sense. Right? Hey Baba, you are not my father. It's an illogical statement. So if you want to be illogical, you're not going to get very far. okay, your choice, doesn't matter, we only need 8. It's a competition, right? So if you fail, it's all right, there's more opportunity for others. Doesn't matter. So if somebody is behaving badly, what's the problem? Right? Somebody is behaving badly, doing wrong things, so okay, then they're creating a low level of fortune. Why are you bothered? There's jnana, you see. And jnana tells you what to do, what to not do. If somebody's doing something wrong, you have just a nanosecond in which to evaluate what kind of way that you should position yourself and interpret this thing such that it is the most profitable for yourself. Sometimes it is exactly appropriate to be detached. So you just be detached, do nothing, and let that scene pass. Because all the scenes of the drama arise, occur, and then they disappear again, you see. And so for the duration in which they are occurring, it's an opportunity for you to respond appropriately. And the more you are an embodiment of knowledge, that is, you will give an appropriate response according to knowledge. That will be a correct response. And as a result of it, you will go into profit, you see. And you will be by others to be an embodiment of detachment or an embodiment of compassion or whatever is actually demanded by that circumstance, you see. And then if you fail and you become an embodiment of confusion, then you become the laughing stock, that's all. And you're also part of the cartoon show. So then your self-respect is less. Because as soon as you wake up to the reality that you became ridiculous, you feel a little bit of shame because your reputation got damaged. Because you're supposed to be the knowledgeable child of God, the one who uses the key of soul, supreme soul, and drama. You see, how do you use the dot of the supreme soul? It's when you need power. You see? So if you are under attack by something like, say, a evil spirit, right? Baba told us one of the questions in the question paper is you get attacked by evil spirit, right? Everybody heard that? You all know that? You will be attacked by evil spirit sooner or later. Let's see. Om Shanti. So Baba has used this word bhut, evil spirit, and it means also vice, and it also means elements of matter. So the three things come in one word, bhut, you see. So it doesn't make that much difference whether it's a vice, whether it's extreme body consciousness, or whether it's a floating disembodied soul coming to get you, you see, because it's the same. And when you're under attack, what do you experience is panic. Right? Panic. And what do you have to do? No, but before you can get calm, what do you have to do? You say, Baba. That's even faster than remembering I'm a soul. Baba. Because you need to have Baba with you. And then you are God plus one. Right? Baba said sometimes we are combined. You see, when you are combined with Baba, nothing can happen. Nothing can happen to Baba. Can it? If it could, he is not God. And he is God, so nothing can happen to Baba. So if you are with Baba, that means God plus one is always more powerful than the most extreme form of evil, because that's, you know, evil minus one. So if God and evil are equal, then where you position yourself makes all the difference. You go on the side of Baba, and then you're not on the side of that. So that means it's automatically calculated as less powerful. And Baba said in this murali, the authority of experience is thousands of times greater than the authority of Maya. Right? So when somebody is an authority of something, that means they're very convinced and they're very convincing. You see? So if you're an authority and you're with Baba, then you are not fooled by or made afraid by any kind of negativity or evil thing, right? You become detached observer and say, okay, well, guess what? You're weaker than me plus Baba, so get out of here. Right? That's what you do. Is it okay? Use it when you have to, because you will. Ours is a key, you see. But you have to be fast, because you have 1 nanosecond in which to get ready. Yes? When I was in California, we used to have sometimes earthquakes, you see. Earthquake will come with 1 second advance information. You don't know. 1 second, but you have 1 second. You position yourself, it comes and you either survive or you don't. Simple as that. But you have 1 second, you see. And when you're really connected with yourself as a soul, with Baba, combined with Baba, and you enjoy the big cartoon show, then you are such, you're positioned in such a way that you get 1 second notification about what's going to happen if you have to do something about it or position yourself in a certain way, you know. I mean, if somebody is really going to get angry with you, you know, right? You have at least 1 second in which to decide how you're going to deal with it. And 1 second is quite long, you know, when you have to make a decision, like what position are you going to take? Are you going to be scared to death? Are you going to be detached observer? Are you going to move yourself out of the way so that they miss their intended target? Or how are you going to deal with it? You have 1 second in which to do it, yes? And anytime any such situation arises, you don't want to be caught off guard, right? Being caught off guard is when you were not bothering to be soul conscious. So you get caught off guard. So that means what we have to be is very aware all the time. And this is why now we have not just traffic control, we have every hour we have little music that goes along. You know, make ourselves aware. Because Baba has said we have to stay aware and not become unaware, I see. Because when we are unaware or we are off guard, then Maya will take a chance and say, hey, guess what? And they'll get you, and then you just look ridiculous. See? And so stay on guard, stay aware, because circumstances occur suddenly. And so Baba has said we have to be ever ready. And in order to be ever ready, we have to be in a good stage of yoga. So paying attention on one's stage of yoga is very important. And that means that we have to give it a very good priority. But he gave us a pass mark in service, and what that means is we give higher priority to service than the other three. Why do we do that? Partly because service produces visible consequences. You know, if you do good service, you look good, you know. So you again get back to the looking good syndrome. And if you do service, you can convince yourself that, well, I couldn't meditate because I was doing service. Right? But we're supposed to do service in soul consciousness. And, you know, really using not just only individual yoga, but collective yoga. It's very powerful, collective yoga, when you want to create the atmosphere. Because when you want to accomplish a spiritual accomplishment, it needs to be accomplished within the context of a spiritual atmosphere. The spiritual atmosphere is created by yoga. And so when you really pay attention to your stage and your yoga, you're aware, you see. When you're not paying attention, you become unaware, you see. So paying attention to your yoga, it becomes a discipline, it becomes a habit, it becomes something you prefer. And when you're not paying attention to your yoga, you feel something wrong, something missing, you see. And so that feeling of something wrong, something missing is an indicator from your conscience that says, hey, watch the yoga. Because we're yogis. And Baba has said that the bank for accumulation is open and it's going to close soon. And the thing that we're accumulating is yoga power. If we don't have yoga, we can't really become an embodiment of knowledge. Because without yoga, we're an embodiment of ignorance. And so the yoga is the thing that tips the balance always. And yoga means that you're, you know, you have a continuing conversation going on with Baba. And so whenever anything goes wrong, it's really useful. Because it compels you to intensify the quality of your relationship with Baba. So you use that second dot, you know, the dot of Baba. So things in drama happen which appear to be bad. And they're not actually bad, because what they do is they push you to realize that Baba is the only one. All the rest is cartoon show. We're constantly surrounded by this 3D cartoon show. And if you try to take support from any of these rapidly flying by images in the cartoon show, you're going to be deceived. You take the support from Baba, and he gives us the eye to see the cartoon show for what it is, you become very, very realistic. Very realistic, very detached, you see. And then you apply the dot of drama, you see. Because the dot of drama means, you can say, the dot of cartoon show. What's going on? Well, the cartoon show is going on. Any problem? No. Because cartoon shows are always full of impossible situations, right? You know, people falling off mountains, being squashed like tomatoes, and then coming back together again. You must have seen, you know, on TV, the cartoon shows are very, you know, prominent in the channels, because people like cartoons. Yeah? And those cartoons distract you from dealing with the realities of life. But here Baba is saying the reality of life is a cartoon. And so then you can be detached from it and get back to gyan, which is, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to not do? Which means, am I soul conscious? Am I body conscious? Am I in awareness? You see, and when the moment of drama arises that says, okay, you know, you have to do something or you have to give a response, you have a tiny amount of time in which to give the right response. So you always want to be in a state of being very, very close to that full awareness, so that you can give the right response at the right moment, and not according to your old sanskaras. Because your old sanskaras are relevant if you're body conscious, but they're not relevant if you're going to be soul conscious. So we want to use Baba's sanskaras. And so how do you know what Baba's sanskaras are? How do you know what Baba's personality is? You watch him. You see. So, for example, in the last meeting, something happened to somebody and some people paid attention to it. So what were Baba's sanskaras? He looked, he saw everything is okay, and all the rest of the guys are distracted. But he is not disturbed. So you know Baba is undisturbed. So to develop the sanskaras of being undisturbed, he gives you the demonstration. And so the child, what the child does, the child is always so connected with the parents. Whatever is the emotion of a parent in response to any situation, the child will have the same emotion. So if the parent is afraid of something, the child will be afraid. And if it's a dangerous situation and the parent is stable and courageous, the child will be stable and courageous too. Because the child will mimic the emotions of the parent, the response of the parent. So this is what we do. And only when you're connected with the parent, that this is my father, not that it was from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock you're my father and after that you don't exist, you know. That's not having a parent. You see, a parent is a permanent thing. You see? And then these other people, who are these other people? You know, they're actors in the drama. So we say, this is my Lokit this, and my Lokit that, and my Lokit the other. Oh, this is my service companion, or this is my service place. Home is where? Paramdham. Where do we come from? Paramdham. Where are we going? Paramdham. What are we doing? Having cartoon show. You see? And within the cartoon show, we are accumulating. Because we have to have enough power, we have to have enough stock of good karma to last us for 84 births. And if we don't, then we'll have to start the drama late. Because we have to get to the end. If you don't have enough power and accumulation to get to the end, you have to start later. See, if you start in the Silver Age, it means you failed. Missed. Okay, doesn't matter. We only need 900,000 people at the beginning. Are you one or not? Do you want to see all of history and geography, or do you not mind? Why are you here? It's very, very good to ask yourself this question. Why you came in Kyan? Because you go back to the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are Kyan. I'm a soul. I have Baba. I have truth. Everything is a drama going on. And I have a chance to become the best possible me that there is. And all I have to do is remember that this is what's going on. And whatever anybody else is doing, it's designed to distract us from our intended focus. And that it's doing its job very well. And we just have to see, am I distracted or am I keeping focus? So if we start trying to manipulate, play games, this, that or the other, it means we're playing a dangerous game and we will lose. You have a choice. Right? So the more you churn the essentials of knowledge, the more it becomes clear to you, who am I, who do I belong to, what's going on, what am I supposed to be doing. It's just these four things, very essenceful. Am I the point of light? You know, am I filled with light, power, it means light, knowledge also light. Am I an enlightened being who is full in purity, peace, power, love and bliss? Or not? If not, then become. It's that the act that we have to do is become what we are. And what happens is we cease to be what we are. And then we notice it, we become what we are. You see, and as the practice continues and you investigate it and experiment with it in lots of different ways, you become good at it. And the great advantage of teaching these things is every time you're teaching somebody, you're teaching yourself. You're reminding yourself. Because when you open your mouth, you're also listening to what you say. And then another advantage of teaching is that the other people will come up with questions that are not questions for you. You see? So you don't have that question, but then you have to provide an answer because it's a question for the other person. So then you have to think. You see? And also you're creating profit because you're benefiting another person. And so if you do not profit yourself when you could be profiting yourself, then you're going in loss. So, okay, up to you. You want to be in loss? Be my guest. Well, I will not. I will go in profit. Because this whole thing is an opportunity to benefit. This is why the confluence age is called Kalyankari. This word Kalyankari is very good. It's one of the meanings of Shiva, is Kalyankari, is beneficial. Beneficial means profitable. So we have to use our time, talent, thought, breath, everything for profit. And not at the expense of anyone, but true profit is when we go in such profit that everyone else is benefited. So if we're body conscious, we think that the pie is limited and we want to take a big share, so that means everybody else has to have less. You're soul conscious, the pie is unlimited. And the more you give, the more you get. So it's a different calculation when you're soul conscious. So I'll stop here. Some of you may have a question. We have until 12:30 or so. Anybody have any question? Yes? You have to speak loudly so everyone can hear. So the question is we have the responsibility to make the choice, and Baba says the responsibility is mine. Baba's responsibility is to provide us with such an education that the choices we make are educated choices, you see. And when there is something that's out of our hands, then it's his responsibility. So we need to discern what is in our hands, what's not in our hands. If something's not in our hands, then for us to try to control it is a sign of ignorance, because at that time it's Baba's responsibility. See? So again, we come back to this power of discernment, which is very important. And then Baba said, you know, when you have contentment, it brings the other powers, which is a very, very deep point. It's the same, you see, because yoga means be in yoga. You get yourself into yoga, figure out a way, make sure, pay attention. Pay attention on your connection. That's what to do. What not to do is be careless. You know? So again, it's that. In dharana, what is good behavior? What is good practice? What is the protocol? Understand what that is and do it. And your conscience will help you. And if you're attentive, you will understand that you may have a sanskara to do what you're not supposed to do, then don't do it. And control that sanskara. And then in service, Baba has given us a very clear barometer for service, that if you're doing something and calling it service, then you will be satisfied and they will be satisfied. If they're not satisfied, it's not service. So don't do it. So this essential expression, what to do and what to not do, it covers everything. And, you know, for us to be able to come to the essence and hold ourselves in the point of the essence means to become still. And being still is to be able to just be. You're away from the action consciousness, and then you're in a good, powerful stage. See, what I was saying is there's three things that can be described as an evil spirit: a vice, a wandering soul, or matter itself. I see.